joining us on KBR 680, a guy I always like to see, and whenever I see him, I know the Dodgers can't be too far away, and that's Bill Shaken of the Los Angeles Times. He covers the Dodgers. Bill, nice to see you.
Good to be here.
All right. The Dodgers are on the horizon, and it's a hitting machine, and Kershaw is throwing off flat ground, and they're always threatening that he's coming back sometime in September. Bring us up to date. We haven't seen the Dodgers in a while.
Yeah, as far as Kershaw goes, the rough plan, and this could change with any given day, is that he'll be able to pitch in September, but maybe with a little bit of a limited workload. You can't, as you know, go throw a minor league rehab start in September because the minor leagues are all done. So maybe instead of coming back and pitching 7 or 8 innings, he pitches 3 or 4 or 5. But, you know, he's Clayton Kershaw, so that's 3 or 4 or 5 innings you're getting that's better than anybody else's 3, 4, or 5. And, of course, it's September. There's a 40-man roster, so you got 20 guys on your pitching staff, you'd be all right.
Well, they have 20 on their pitching staff now.
Most teams do. It's pretty crazy. You walk in and, you know, there's 12, 13-man bullpens, and then you look up and, you know, it's the seventh inning and it takes an hour because you got 5 batters and 4 pitchers, and that's everywhere these days.
Well, we'll get to that in a second about Rob Manfred and all the ideas he has about changing the game of baseball and the pace of the game. But let's talk a little bit about the Dodgers. They did close the gap on the Giants and made up a lot of games. Did you see it coming? And Corey Seager, a major part of it. Puig is not there anymore. You know, give us a little bit of the background of what happened here.
You know, it's pretty amazing because when you look, you say the Giants had an 8-game lead about the time that Kershaw was going down. And you figure, you know, the Dodgers lose their best player, maybe the most valuable player in the league, and it would seem an odd time for the Giants to lose their lead to the Dodgers. But they did, and it's not because the Dodgers are pitching any better. The Giants have had some troubles pitching, but so have the Dodgers, certainly starting pitching. The bullpen has been a little bit better than the Giants' bullpen. But mostly it's hitting. A lot of the guys that were not hitting in the first couple months, it picked it up. Adrian Gonzalez has found some power. He says he's healthy again, that he wasn't in the first half. Justin Turner was coming off knee surgery. He wasn't hitting for much in the first couple months. He's certainly come on to, you know, go over 20 home runs, a career high for him. Seager's been consistent all along. Offensively, he's no doubt the MVP of the team as a rookie. And the other guy is Yasmani Grandal, the catcher who made the All-Star game last year, got hurt in the second half, did basically nothing first half of this year, and again has come on and played at an all-star level recently. And then all of a sudden now you have a deep lineup to the point, as you mentioned, that they could send down Yasiel Puig to the minor leagues and replace him with Josh Reddick, who they picked up from the A's. But it's not as if they're missing a beat because Puig's not there. In fact, they're still hitting well. And as well as Puig's hitting in AAA, which he is, they're not in any hurry to call him back.
Boy, interesting story, and we're going to pick it up next week. Believe me, starting on Tuesday, Bill Shaken with us of the L.A. Times. What happened with Puig? They just were fed up with him, and finally, what happened?
I think it's the old story where, you know, if you're hitting 300 with 30 home runs, you're kind of eccentric and quirky, maybe, if you don't go along with everything that the coaching staff wants in the front office. But, you know, when you're not hitting at that high a level, then all of a sudden some of those quirks and eccentricities start to really bother people. And I think the Dodgers have gotten to the point with Puig where, you know, this is not his first coaching staff. This is not his first front office. There were things they just wanted him to do to improve as a player. And again, I mean, you can be Vladimir Guerrero and swing a pitch is 5 feet outside. Nobody's going to tell you to adjust your swing. But Puig had trouble. There's no secret on the scouting report in. Hard inside, low and away with breaking balls outside, and until he can show he can adjust to that, they were really a little surprised that he wasn't doing the work to really make those adjustments. And I think, you know, when they were able to trade for Josh Reddick from the A's, they actually had a replacement and were able to send him down and say, this is where we are. You need to improve as a player. You need to improve as a teammate. You need to improve as a person. And the question in L.A. is he ever going to come back to the Dodgers?
Well, go ahead. Is he ever going to come back to the Dodgers? What do you think?
Well, everybody's been really clear to be vague about that. And I know that's an odd way to say it, but nobody has said in the front office that, hey, you go down there, you know, get everything right, and you'll come right back, which is a lot of times what you'll say when you send down a guy who's had some success at the major league level. The closest is when Dave Roberts told me last week that, well, if he improves as a man and as a player, he'd be welcome back. But that sets up a subjective judgment, obviously, that you know you could go either way with depending on what you want to cite. I don't think they're in any hurry to bring him back, but if he keeps hitting the way he has, you know, at AAA, I think it'd be an awkward conversation to say, no, you're not coming back, especially in September when the rosters expand.
Isn't it something, Giants-Dodgers, and, you know, I looked up some of the pennant races of the 60s, and, God, for 3 months, they were two games apart. Then you have, you know, 62, and the Dodgers looked like they were going to wrap it up and couldn't do it in the last week. 59, it looked like the Giants were going to win a pennant, and they couldn't get it done. But isn't it amazing how these two teams, when it's all said and done, it's always Giants-Dodgers?
It is, and to me, Marty, the best thing about this year's Giants-Dodgers rivalry is that Vin Scully, who hardly travels anymore, decided that he wanted to travel for his last game, and maybe he'll work the playoffs and maybe not, but for his last regular season game, he's coming here to San Francisco because he grew up in New York watching the Dodger-Giant rivalry when it was, you know, Brooklyn and New York, and he wants to be a part of this to make it his last game. So he's going to be here that, I think it's Sunday, October 3rd, calling the Dodgers and Giants, and how great would that be if that game actually means something?
Yeah, he was a Giant fan growing up.
Yeah,
he tells you that.
He knows all the boroughs and he knows all the stars, and
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's to me still the gold standard, even if you want to say, well, he slipped a little bit. Well, he slipped from, you know, 1 to 1A and everybody else is down to 10 and 20 and 30. He's got a lot of great stories to tell, and I hope, you know, that Sunday will be kind of a showcase for him as well.
It'll be fun for John Miller. I'm sure the Giants will do something up here. What about the trade? Rich Hill and Josh Reddick. How has that worked out for the Dodgers?
They're still waiting for it to work out in some fashion. Reddick is hitting below 200 since he joined the Dodgers. They haven't gotten Rich Hill onto the mound yet. He's still got the blister problem that he had when he left Oakland, and it's, you know, more than a month now since he's pitched in a game. They hope Hill will pitch next week, but that's the same thing they said last week at this time, too. Reddick, they just think it's a matter of, you know, getting comfortable. He's hit some balls hard, and, you know, the exit velocity is there and all the things that people look at now. And fortunately, the team is playing well, so it's not as much of a spotlight on him as maybe it otherwise would be.
Nice to talk baseball, as you can tell. Bill Shaken knows the game and knows his team and knows his pennant race that we have going. Rob Manfred, interesting comments yesterday, and Bob Nightingale in USA Today had a good story about it. Limiting relief pitching, speeding up the game with a pitcher having a clock and things like that. No more shifts. And I realize, and they say, well, the game hasn't changed in, you know, 100 years, 120 years, and everything in the world has. We were looking to change baseball, and they're looking to do it in a very fundamental way.
I think they are in terms of floating concepts out there. I think what a lot of people maybe don't realize is many of these things have to be negotiated with the players' union, and they may come up in collective bargaining now, or they may not till the next collective bargaining agreement, which would be 4 or 5 years down the road. The stuff that the owners might be able to put in just by themselves without the players signing off is stuff that they'll form some committees about and talk about. And, you know, I don't think all these things certainly are going to happen next year, if they happen at all. But I think Rob's greater point, and I think it's a good one, was people say, oh, baseball is bound by tradition. You really don't want to make changes. And he said, a lot of the changes that are happening are not changes that anybody is mandating from the league office. It's a wave of general managers and a wave of managers who have discovered things like, hey, let's have players play where the guys hit the ball instead of at the old traditional positions. Now, is that a drag on the game? Or does that mean you need to just find a better way to outsmart that and things will correct themselves? Yeah. You know, Marty, as you know, 1968, there was the year of the pitcher. Bob Gibson had an ERA of 1.12. And so they said, well, we got to do something. Let's adjust the mound and make it easier for the hitters. Is there another adjustment they can make along those lines, too, to get some more offense back? And again, with the relief pitchers that you talked about, you know, do fans want to see a parade of 9 relievers in the bullpen, 6 of them being used on any night to get the final 6 outs of the 7th and 8th innings, you know?
Well, I think my answer was learn how to hit the other way. You know, learn how to beat the shift if you can. But I think the relief pitching thing is a function of the world today. They're the stronger athletes. They throw harder. And you want to win a game. And if you can bring in one guy to throw 99, it's better to do that. And I think that's something that is part of this slowdown. And I'm not so sure there's any way to get around that.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's come up in collective bargaining, and we'll see what kind of agreement emerges, is the players have been pretty adamant that they think the scheduling demands are pretty onerous. There's a lot of games, not a lot of off days, a lot of flights at off hours, and nobody's asking for fans to feel sorry for the players, but you know, the players want to have the best possible product too, and when you see how many guys are going on the disabled list and how often teams are plagued by injuries, there's got to be at least some thought that maybe the schedule can be tweaked to make it more conducive for Major League Baseball to get the best players out on the field most often. I think one thing that might come out of collective bargaining is you expand the roster. Maybe one of the things owners give players is a 26-man roster, or maybe a 27-man roster. And you know that's going to be the extra relievers.
Boy, good to talk baseball with Bill Shaken. Always a pleasure to do that. The bums are on the horizon. The Giants and the Dodgers. Bill Shaken, L.A. Times. Thanks so much, Bill.
Thanks, Marty.
Very good. Nice to have you with us. All right, more coming up. KNBR 680, the sports leader.